again this morning and turn to the book of Judges, to the book of Judges, for our final time to look at Gideon. Our final time to look at him on the page of Scripture. We bring the study to a close this morning and the life of this dear man of God that today is with Christ as we gather here as part of the church militant. Gideon is in heaven as part of the church triumphant. He's home with the Lord, and we close his study this morning as we look at him here in the pages of Scripture, Judges chapter 8, and beginning to read from verse number 28. Judges chapter 8, beginning to read from verse number 28, please. Let us hear the word of God. Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more. And the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. And Zerubbabel the son of Joash went and dwelt in his own house. And Gideon had 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives. And his concubine that was in Shechem, she also bare him a son, whose name he called Abimelech. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age and was buried in the sepulchre of Joash, his father, in Ophrah of the Abiezrite. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the reading of his word. It is those words in verse 32 that I want to look at this morning. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age and was buried in the sepulchre of Joash, his father, in Ophrah of the Abiezrite. If our Bible's open and our heart's longing for God, let us unite our hearts again in prayer and let us just seek him this morning for this final message. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the quietness and the silence of this meeting house, we gather ourselves again before the throne and before the Scriptures of truth, using the means of grace that thou hast given, to seek for help, to seek for power, to seek for the movings of the Holy Ghost. For thou hast said, seek, and ye shall find. Ask, and it shall be given. Thou hast said, if we be in evil, and we confess our sin, know how to give good gifts unto our children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? And therefore, Father, we ask that thou would give the Holy Ghost now in the meeting. Descend by the Spirit of God. O Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on this gathering. I confess my complete inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. I pray, O God, that you'll forgive my sins, empty me of self, wash me completely in the blood of Christ, fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power, grant that divine baptism, that endowment of the power of the Holy Ghost, that holy anointing, that power that God alone does give, and grant both preacher and hearer the Spirit of God this morning. Lord, move in the gathering. Brood o'er it. Bring light where there's darkness. Bring understanding where there is none. Bring forgiveness where there's sin. O God, we cry to thee that whatever need is in the heart of any in this meeting, that God will come and meet that need. By this public declaration and prayer, we confess that we are unable, as a band of God's people, to meet the heart of any sinner in this meeting. And therefore we pray, O God, that you'll draw near and do what only thou can do. Bind the devil. Break the power of canceled sin. Set prisoners free. Restore the backslidden. Give a word in season to the believer. And above all, ascribe glory and honor to the Lamb upon the throne. For it's in his name and by his blood we pray all these things. Amen. The last day that I spoke on Gideon, we looked with dismay, yet learning the lessons of the making of the golden ephod and its consequences.
We looked at the ephod. That shouldn't have been made. We looked at the place where it was put, and it shouldn't have been there. But we looked at the lessons of the whole story. It had disastrous effects on the nation as a whole. The lessons were so clear. Worship God as He says He is to be worshipped. Secondly, your sin will have a disastrous effect on others. It's far easier to start a wrong thing than to stop it. The devil will always attempt to bring in sin. We looked also at how to deal when a brother or sister falls. Tell it not in Gath. Remember, it could have been you. And then we looked at the snares of the devil that he lays for the people of God, that they might be wounded, that they might go to heaven with that wound, that they might be scarred the rest of the days. Yes, we are thankful for the lessons that we learned in that last Sabbath morning, for the blessings we have received in the whole study and looking at Gideon's life. We've watched his years as a tale that was told, a tale with its ups and downs, its joys and its pains, its victories, its defeat. And yet, the life draws to an end. For every life has a beginning. Every life comes to an end. There is a time truly to be born, and there's a time truly to die. The final curtain must come down. Men must leave the world stage. Their time on earth ends. They make room for another generation. And that's where we go this morning. We go to the house of mourning. We go to learn the lessons of the wick. Verse 32 says, "And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age and was buried in the sepulchre of Joash, his father, in Ophrah of the Abiezrite." Yes, it's the final curtain, to use the phrase. It's the final moment. A moment, by the way, and may I say, that if the Lord Jesus Christ does not return in this century, a moment that everyone before me now will undoubtedly face, you will meet death. You will face death. It will come to you when God appointed it. It cannot be stopped. It cannot be hindered. And therefore this morning we go, as I said in the very first message, and looking at the life of Gideon, we go to learn the lessons that are found in the house of mourning. And this morning I speak in the closing message on the death and the burial and the eternity of Gideon. The death, the burial, and eternity of Gideon. The first thing I want to show you is his death recorded in Holy Scriptures. Verse 32. "And Gideon the son of Joash died in a good old age." There we have it. As we gather this morning, it's the infallible word. It's the inspired book. It is the accurate account of all history. "And Gideon the son of Joash died in a good old age." His life ended. His soul departed the body. It's the final scene of the life of a man who was introduced to us there by the winepress as he threshed wheat. But now it comes to this scene. We've watched him, as I said, the last day. We've watched him deal with sin in his own home. We watched him throw out the fleece as he sought for guidance about the Midianites. We watched him go against them. We watched him seek to walk closely with God, refusing the crown of Israel, rather pointing Israel to God, that He was their God, He was their Lord, He would lead them. And though, yes, the last Sabbath morning, we did look with regret at the golden ephod, and yet we learned its lessons. And we learned the lesson that he who thinks he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Because the capability is that we all could fall. We all could do it. And yet it must be said, as we bring this to a close, that what God said He would do with Gideon, He did with Gideon. Look at verse 28 with me, where we began to read. "Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. God's promise given to this dear man of God was fulfilled. It came to pass, as all God's promises always will. Let's just remind ourselves of the promise. Judges 6, verse 4. Judges 6, verse 14, rather. Verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him. Remember where he is. He's at the wine press. He's hiding. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go on this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel. There's no doubt about it. From the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And as we see here in Judges 8, verse 28, God's promises were fulfilled. God said he would do something with Gideon, and he did it. And when it was done, Gideon, the son of Joash, died. He died in a good old age. What's the lesson of Gideon's death? What was death to Gideon? Death took Gideon to where his Savior was. Death took Gideon to where his inheritance is. Death took Gideon to where his name was. Remember what the Lord said to the disciples in Luke 10? Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Gideon went to where his name was. He went to where his Savior is. He went to where his inheritance was. He went to where his citizenship was. He went to where his home was. And Hebrews 11 makes that clear, and we'll see that later. Because Gideon's mentioned there in Hebrews 11, among that great multitude of the heroes of the faith who looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. This is the day that Gideon lived for. That day when he would be home, he would be in person where his name was written down, where his citizenship was. And dear believer, I want you to understand that this morning, your name is where you are not yet. Your name's in heaven. It's written down there. Christ said that to the disciples. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven, and where your name is, you will be. And that's where Gideon went. He went to his Savior. He went to where his name was written. He went to his inheritance. He went to where his citizenship was. And as Hebrews 11 tells us, he went to that better country that he desired, that is in heavenly, because that statement is made about all those heroes of the faith. They went to that better country. Death to Gideon and death to the believer is taking them to Christ, taking them to where their name is already written, taking them into that place where they meet God. And friend, my friend, this morning, that's one of the lessons that we must not miss as we meet it here, as we look at his death, because every believer here, as I have said, is going to die if the Lord tarries in his second coming. If the Lord tarries, then our generation will pass through death. But where's it taking you? It's taking you to heaven, taking you to your inheritance, taking you to where your name already is, taking you to your Savior, taking you to that land that is fairer than day. But what about the other lessons? Because there are lessons here for us all. And one of them is surely this. Since death is coming, and we don't know when it is coming, what we're going to do for God as believers, we need to do it now. That's the first thing I want to leave with you. Could Gideon address you this morning? He would say, time's short. What you're going to do for God, do it now. If God's exercising your soul, don't think about it. Just do it. Just obey him. Go to John's Gospel. Go to John's Gospel, chapter 2. Maybe the Lord has been exercising some in the meeting about going a little further with God. Go to John, chapter 2. And to the words of Mary, you know the situation. It's the wedding feast. Christ there. And look what Mary said in verse number 5. They've run out of wine. Verse 5, Mary says to the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. What the scene is this. Mary is getting these people, these and this, these people in the wedding feast, she's getting them ready to receive a word from God. The Lord hasn't spoken to them yet, but they're getting ready. Mary says, look, whatever he says unto you, do it. And then in verse 7, the word comes. The word comes in verse 7. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And maybe you have been praying, Lord, speak to me. Lord, show me your will for my life. Well, my friend, the thought is, if you're praying like that, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And you may not have received the word just yet, as those men hadn't, when Mary spoke to them and telling them to obey the word. But the word would come. And it did come. And then they moved. And then they knew what to do. And the lesson, of course, is clear. Don't move till the Lord makes it clear what to do. But when he speaks, obey it. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And of course, we know what happened. It was Christ's great, first great miracle. And it was done that they might believe on him. Do what you can do. God will do what you can't. Don't reason it out. Just obey it. When God gives a word, that's all Gideon did. He just followed the Lord as until, of course, that situation last time. But that's what happened. He obeyed the Lord because life's too short to disobey. You've one chance at this. One journey to heaven. We can't come back and say, I'll do it better next time, because there won't be a next time. There won't be a next time. You can't retrace your steps in the Christian life. Could Gideon address us, as I've already said, he would say, grasp the opportunity with both hands to serve Christ. Throw your heart and soul into it. Throw your heart and soul into the prayer meeting. Throw your heart and soul into the work of God as the Lord leads you. Throw your heart and soul right into it, because the opportunity is not coming back. It's the lesson of the house of mourning. It's the lesson of the house of mourning. The Lord's to be obeyed as he gives light. As he gives light as to what we're to do. Take the text, take the thinking. Until Jesus takes me home. Until my death comes. From henceforth, from this moment. From this moment and this morning service, whatsoever he says unto me, I'm going to do it, because it's the lesson of the house of mourning. Because that's where I'm heading. I can't retrace these steps. I can't relive these moments now. There's nobody going to be in heaven without regrets. We all understand that. We have regrets nearly every day. Well, I do. But what I'm saying is, whatsoever he saith unto you, from this moment henceforth, say, I'm doing it with all my heart. I'm not wasting a moment. I'm living for God from this moment. I owe it to my God. He purchased me. He saved me from going down to the pit. And from this moment, in light of this lesson in Gideon's house of mourning, from this moment, I'm going to serve him. I'm going to throw off sloth. You see, in a moment, Gideon was in glory. In a moment, Gideon was with Christ. In a moment, he was in the third heaven. And dear believer, someday you and I are going there. Every believer in this meeting, as I said last Sunday night around the Lord's table, every believer in this meeting, we will meet in glory. But that journey to glory, you can't retrace your steps. Therefore, we purpose before God this morning, for as long as he has given us from this very moment, we will serve him. Because it's the lesson of the house of mourning. Gideon, the son of Joash, died. His pilgrimage was over. His opportunity to serve Christ had gone. He was home. He was in heaven. That's his death. What about his burial and the actual house of mourning? Look at verse 32 again of Judges chapter 8. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age, and was buried in the sepulchre. Death. Death is the separating of soul and body. Many of you have learned the catechism. It can't be put any better than it is there. The souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness. And do immediately pass into glory. but their bodies being still united to Christ rests in the grave until the resurrection. At death, as it is with every believer, and as it will be with you, dear brother or sister in Christ, your soul will be received into the highest heaven. You will be made immediately perfect in holiness. You will behold the face of God. But the body, which will lie in the grave, is still united to Christ and rests there until the day of the resurrection, when it will be again united with the soul. That's what happened to Gideon. His body lies in the sepulchre of his father. That's where his body was laid, in the same grave as his old father. He was laid to rest there. And there the body lies, united to Christ still, until the morning of the resurrection. But dear people, let's learn the lesson of it. Let's visit the wake. Let's go to the house of mourning. Let's watch them, undoubtedly, carry Gideon to the grave. Let's watch them as they lay him, undoubtedly, tears flowing into Mother Earth. Undoubtedly, as man is reminded again of the truth of man's mortality, because it's the lessons of the house of mourning. It's the lessons of the wake, to use our phrase. We go into the wake. We see the family mourn. And that's why Solomon said it's better to go there, to the house of mourning, than to go to the house of the feasting. Because in the wake, in the house of mourning, dear people, is reality. It's reality. There's no falseness. The evidence is before you. Solomon said, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. It's better to go to the house of mourning and learn its lessons. It's the end of all men. That's what all must expect. That's what all arrive at. The house of mourning is irreversible. Death can't be reversed. Death's the visitor that can't be hindered or locked out. That's why the Lord says, go to the house of mourning. Learn its lessons. Learn its lessons and don't ever forget them, because in the house of mourning, there's reality. What has taken place is irreversible, and therefore the lesson of it is a matter of urgency. Now, dear unsaved in this meeting, the Lord is addressing you this morning, undoubtedly, from the house of mourning. The Lord would say to you, in light of the wake, in light of the house of mourning, don't wait another moment this morning. As we visit this house, you need to lay it to heart, as Solomon said. You need to lay it to heart that what happened was irreversible. That what happened was appointed. That what happened couldn't be stopped. That what happened is a reality. It's the end of all men. And you need to lay it to heart that it could have been you. And you need to lay it to heart that you could be next. That's the lessons of the house of mourning, folks. Gideon, the son of Joash, died. And somebody in this meeting is going to die next. I want you to understand that. Somebody out of Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church, gathering as we are before God this morning, is next today. Could be this preacher. But it's the lesson of the house of mourning. Somebody here is next. Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church has not conducted its final funeral. You see, the solemnity of the house of mourning
It's irreversible. It's a sermon all in its own. And the lesson to be learned, and especially for you unsaved in this meeting, that gathered in this congregation, you could be next. You could be next. Because somebody is. Somebody here is next. Today. Do you see how powerless we all are? Because not one of us have a clue who it is. But I will tell you something now. God Almighty knows exactly who it is. Because God Almighty set the appointment, the very moment when it's going to happen ye. If it's a believer, you go to where your name is. You meet Christ. You meet and welcome the joys of heaven. If an unbeliever is next, you're lost. And it's irreversible. It's irreversible. It can't be changed when it's happened. It's the lesson of the house of mourning. Somebody's next. In light of that, what would God say to you, dear unsaved friend? He would say, bow your head right now and repent of your sin and believe the gospel right this moment. Or you clearly are not seeing the lesson from the house of mourning. Man, woman, and I'm not speaking to believers, I'm speaking to everybody. Man, woman, young person, preacher included, somebody here is going to die next in this congregation. And God Almighty knows who it is. And we have been reminded of our own mortality by that very statement. Because not one of us can put the finger on it and say, it'll be such and such. Because we all know the reality of it is we haven't a clue who it's. And therefore, unsaved friend, in this meeting, it's time right now, even before this sermon ends, to bow your heart before God and in the very house of God and in the very presence of God, call upon Him to save your soul and forgive your sins. Because if you die next and you haven't done it, you're damned. It's the lesson of the house of mourning. It's the lesson of the wake. Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age. Maybe you say, I'll do it when I go home. You have no scriptural warranty for that. You might not go home. I'll do it tonight. You might never see it. The lesson of the house of mourning is you need to do it now. Even in the middle of this sermon. You need to call upon God for mercy. There's urgency. It's irreversible. Death can't be stopped. It can't be reversed. Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age. That body redeemed with the blood of Christ awaits the resurrection at the last day. Buried in the same grave as his father. And undoubtedly his body long since turned to dust. But listen, dear friend, in this meeting, that dust is still united to Jesus Christ. And Christ will raise him up at the last day to be reunited with the soul and body and soul forever with the Lord. It's the hope of the believer.
And it's a sure and certain hope. There's no doubt about it whatsoever. Gideon will rise from the dust of Ophrah, because that dust is still united to God's eternal Son. And he'll rise again, and body and soul be ever with the Lord. It's the lesson of the house of mourning. What else did Solomon say about the house of mourning? What else did he say about death? In that little book of Ecclesiastes, let me tell you, friend, what he said. I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. May I remind you, dear unsaved friend, in this meeting, Solomon, writing by inspiration, was not talking about somebody that had never been at public worship. He was talking about those that had been in public worship and had died outside Jesus Christ, outside salvation, because he said in Ecclesiastes 8 verse 10, I saw the wicked buried who had gone from the place of the holy. He witnessed it with his own eyes. Come and gone from God's house. Come and gone, in and out. In and out, in and out, and never, ever, ever saved. And Solomon says by inspiration, I saw, to paraphrase it, the church goer buried without Christ. Sinner. It's the lessons of the house of mourning. The lesson's so clear. Prepare to die. I say that with great concern and as much love as a sinner like me can have in my heart for a sinner like you. But I say it in love to your soul, prepare to die. You can't escape it when you study the house of mourning. It's the lesson that comes out of it. It's the lesson that reverberates out of the house of mourning for Gideon. Gideon, the son of Joash, died and was buried in the sepulchre of his father. Let me ask you something right now. Across this congregation, if you're next, are you ready? If you're next, are you ready to go? Can't be stopped. When your time comes, it's coming. It can't be stopped. I told the story in a gospel meeting a few months back of Alexander the Great's funeral. And his coffin was to be carried through the streets by the greatest doctors of his day to show to the people that what happened couldn't be stopped. The sinner, you need to get this into your heart. You're before God. We've seen the lessons of the house of mourning. Somebody's next. And if it's you, you're not ready. You're not ready to die. Gideon's death. Gideon's burial. They took him. Undoubtedly the tears flowed. So they gathered there at the grave of his old father. And they laid Gideon into that same grave. But sinner, listen to me, Gideon was ready to go. I don't know how long after he died it was till they buried him. But say it was 3 days.
Gideon had already been 3 days with Christ. He had already seen Christ. He was home. He was in heaven. Gideon's death, Gideon's burial. What about Gideon's eternity? Look again at the text. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age and was buried in the sepulchre of Joash's father and Ophrah of the Abiezrite. Gideon's eternity. Gideon, as I have already said, went to heaven. He died. His death took him there. And I want you now to turn with me to Hebrews 11. We go forward a couple of thousand years in the records of time to Hebrews chapter 11. And Gideon's name is there, and it's rightly there. And the Lord doesn't list his faults. The Lord lists his exploits. Oh, how gracious God is. Hebrews 11, verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, to tell of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Now go down to verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith. The word report is testimony. These all having a good testimony through faith in Christ. Oh, remember what Paul's doing. 2,000 odd years after Gideon's home, after we have read in Judges 8:32, he's buried in the old grave of his father. And there the Lord tells Paul, 2,000 years later, as he's writing, he tells them of the exploits of Gideon. Tell them Gideon obtained a good report, a glorious testimony through faith in Jesus Christ. Gideon's eternity, home with the Lord. Gideon's eternity with Christ. And yet, 2,000 odd years later, Gideon's there, he's in heaven, and as Paul's writing the page of Hebrews, God moves him to write about Gideon and his exploits and his obtaining promises and his subduing kingdoms. Tell me, sinner friend, what will be said about you? God keeps the record of his dear people. 2,000 years after Gideon, he tells Paul all about it. Just write it down. And Samson. Oh, they had their faults. We all do. But God just mentioned their exploits, put them down as heroes of the faith. Sinner, what about you? What about you? What will be said of you by God after you're gone? You see, the words of Judges 8:32, don't go back to it, they're so similar to the words of Luke 16. Again, Luke writing by inspiration. Again, Luke writing of a man that he didn't know, as Paul didn't, and had never met Gideon. But God told Luke to write it down. And the rich man also died and was buried. And I tell you, sinner friend, the contrast couldn't have been more different. Joash, or Gideon, the son of Joash, died and was buried, and we've seen where he is. Luke 16, the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. Sinner, it's the lesson of the house of mourning. Can't get away from it this morning. It's the reality of death. Death is a vehicle for the sinner and the saint. Death to the believer transports them into glory to be with Christ. Death to the sinner transports them to eternal wrath. The contrast couldn't be more greater. There is no greater contrast, let me say it right now, than heaven and hell. There's no greater contrast than that. You can't have more opposites than heaven with Christ or hell without Him. And yet as we stand here this morning in morning worship, our hearts lament that not everyone gathered in the house of the holy is for heaven. Because we're not all for heaven. Oh, I wish to God I could say right now and look across this congregation and say with assurance, we'll all meet on the golden shore. The facts of the matter is, if we all die right now, we're not meeting on the golden shore. We're not. Some of us won't be there. Because some of us are not ready to face our house of mourning. We're not ready if it's our wake. We're not ready if, like Gideon, we're carried to our grave. We're not ready. We're not ready for the final curtain. We're not ready to make way for another. Oh, man, woman, young person. Here you are again, just to use the phrase, in the house of the holy. And yet Solomon said, I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the house of the holy. Maybe just come and gone their whole life. Coming and going to church. Coming and going, getting up on the Sunday morning, getting ready to go to meeting, as the old folk used to call it. Just getting ready. And coming and going home again. And coming and going home again. Week by week on the mother's knee. Week by week, with your own children on your knee. Week by week, with your grandchildren on your knee. Week by week, until there's no more weeks. Because it's your wake. It's your house of mourning. And the people have gathered to bury you. And you weren't ready. It's irreversible. It can't be stopped. And therefore, my unsaved friend in this meeting, could Gideon address this meeting in his final message? He would tell you to get to Christ immediately. That's what his final word would go. It would go to the sinner. It would go to the one without Christ, without an anchor. This morning we bring the final curtain down on the life of Gideon, the son of Joash. We salute his memory. We'll meet him someday and we'll find out far more about it, all that are saved here. We thank God for the lessons we've revealed from Holy Scripture, from his life. We salute his memory, as God did in Hebrews 11. But sinner, you learn the lesson of the house of mourning.
Somebody is next. Somebody is going to die. Somebody is going to be buried. Somebody is going to go into eternity. And that is just all that Judges 8:32 said. He died and he was buried. Never on this scene of time to live again until Jesus comes. And sinner, I asked you in the closing moments of this meeting, if you're next, are you ready? If not, you need to get ready. Because the greatest contrast that ever was and ever will be is the contrast between heaven and hell. And in Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church this morning, meeting for public worship, not everyone is for heaven. And that is a tragedy. That is a tragedy. And I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the house of the holy. But though they did all that, they never came to Christ. And as I have said before in preaching, and I'll say it again because it fits, as J.C. Ryle closed one of his evening meetings, I will close the study on the life of Gideon. You don't have to be a great sinner to go to hell. Just keep coming to church and never come to Christ. Just keep listening and never obeying. Just keep hearing and not believing. And forever you will be a lost, perishing soul. And the curtain's down. And Gideon's with Christ. Gideon, the son of Joash, died and was buried in the grave of his father, in Ophrah of the Abiezrite. Let us bow before God in prayer. With every head bowed, and God's people praying, sinner, the lesson of the house of mourning is this. Right now, you need to call upon God to save you. Right now, backslider, you need to come back. You need to do it now. Just lift your heart. Call upon the Lord. I believe the Lord has spoken here. You want to speak to me after this service? Again, I have the Lord's Supper. As I said last Sunday night, one of the elders can take you to the minister's room. They'll lead you there to Jesus Christ. Or go there and I will see you after the morning worship. But friend, you don't even need me. Call on the Lord right now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he'll save you now and he'll keep you. And he'll guide you home to heaven. Sinner, you could be next. Prepare to meet thy God. Father, give deciding grace. Bind every power of hell. Let the blood prevail for souls.
and bring them right through for God and silence every accusation and every hindrance of the devil. And give dear souls grace to get right with God right now in their pew, lest they come and go from the holy the last time. O God, grant pardoning mercy. Grant forgiveness of sins. Grant salvation. We ask in the holy name of Christ our Lord. Amen.